Our Bible study tonight is in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 to 14, God's encouraging promise of the Holy Spirit to accomplish His calling. When the assignments God gives His people are viewed as humanly too difficult for them to accomplish, direction and encouragement is required for them to attempt and just to achieve. So God promises to provide of His own resources all His people need to achieve His will for them, a very encouraging truth that is symbolized in Zechariah's fifth night vision in Zechariah chapter 4, 1 to 14. Let me just read the verses, and then we'll look at them in depth. Once again, as we get into the verses themselves, the symbolism is thick, but the truth is priceless, and we're going to get into it in a little bit. And the angel that talked with me, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, the angel that talked with me came again and wakened me as a man that is awakened out of his sleep. Believe it or not, that's a very important verse. And he said unto me, what do you see? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, and a bowl, a reservoir, hovering on top of it, and its seven lamps are on, and seven pipes to each of the seven lamps, which means 49 conduits in all, which are on the top thereof. And two olive trees on either side of the candlestick, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord, or what do these mean? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, do you not know what these mean? And I said, no, my Lord. And the angel doesn't respond right away. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, his hands also shall finish it, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the entire earth. Then answered I and said unto them, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I asked again and said unto him, what be these two olive bunches of olives which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, do you not know what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Okay, it's a very important chapter in view of prophecy. It's a very important chapter in view of the will of God for God's people down through the ages, and we'll look at it in depth. The angel who introduced the eight visions to Zechariah wakened him to the fifth vision as though waking him out of a sleep. Now, when you waken a person out of a sleep, he's in a state of weakness. Have you ever been wakened up by someone? And right away, do you feel like going out and lifting weights? No, you're groggy and you're thinking, what? What's going on? You're in a state of tremendous weakness. Well, the angel came to this man and wakened him. Now, he was in a vision, but it was as though he needed to be wakened. That was a symbol of the fact that Zechariah was weak humanly, and he needed power. He needed supernatural power. Now, that verse sets the tone for the whole chapter, and you have to keep that in mind, the need for human power. I can't emphasize this enough. I think today that one of the biggest needs of Christians is the need to depend upon the power of God. There are too many people who are trying to live the Christian life in their own strength, trying to handle the problems that they face in life in their own strength. You can't do it. I can't. I could never think. You know, I look back. I've been here at Nepog Church now for over 27 years. When I came, I thought I was going to last 2 weeks because of the challenges I was... I really did. I just didn't know how it was going to go, humanly, I spoke. We had a prayer meeting. In those days, we had prayer meetings in homes. And we went to a home. I think it was Lester Clark's. No, it was Wayne and Jan Richards' home. We had a prayer meeting out there. And the people were sharing with me this problem in the church and that problem in the church and that problem. And I finally spoke up and I said, you know, if this church is in existence a year from now, it'll be a miracle. And they all froze. That was 27 years ago. Okay, we've seen this miracle go on and on and on 27 times over. We need the power of God. You need it, and I need it. Anyway, how do we get it? Well, when asked by the angel what he saw, Zechariah replied that he saw a golden candlestick being profusely supplied with olive oil for its 7 lamps from a bowl that was suspended over it, with 49 conduits in all going from the bowl to the various lamps. What you have here is a picture. You have a bowl that is suspended over the candlestick, and the candlestick has 7 lamps. And you've got 7 conduits out of the bowl going for each lamp. They've got 49 conduits. And what's happening is there are conduits, and this is by implication, going from the bowl to the olive trees. So these olive trees are tapped, much like Mr. Slate back here taps the maple trees, and out comes the maple syrup, comes to the sap, and then from that you make the maple syrup. Anyway, the sap, which is the olive, is coming from these olive trees by 2 large conduits that are going into this reservoir, this bowl. And out of this bowl are coming 49 conduits, 7 to each of the lamps. So these lamps are being amply supplied with olive oil. Now, olive oil is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. This is a profuse provision of the Holy Spirit of God so that the light can continue to burn, so that you have a witness that is constantly going on. That's what is symbolized here, but Zechariah doesn't know it yet. And Zechariah also saw 2 olive trees standing on either side of the candlestick that were tapped to provide a pipe from each tree to fill the golden bowl. So Zechariah asked the angel who showed him the vision what these items represented. In an effort to enhance Zechariah's interest in the explanation, the angel stalled in explaining the items, rather addressing the application of the vision symbols before later explaining them. It's interesting, the angel says, do you know what these mean? No. Well, the angel doesn't tell him. Now, what that does is that creates a bit of a tension, because after a while you start getting irritated at the angel. Why aren't you telling me? That's designed to pique your interest, because when he gives you the answer, he wants you to really take it in and apply it. So this demonstrates to us that God feels it is extremely important that we get the secret of power, that we understand the secret of power to living the Christian life. Okay, now, that application promised that the civil leader, Zerubbabel, would finish the temple construction work not by human ability or power, but by the Holy Spirit's power. Just as his hands had laid the foundation, his hands would also finish it, confirming this very prediction to be of the Lord. Now, this is a very important prediction here, because the people were discouraged. They were trying to build a temple that didn't look nearly as nice as the Solomon temple. Some of the old people who had been around and seen Solomon's temple were really frustrated because it didn't look like the old one, and they were weeping because of it. You know, you can just see the new generation saying, well, what's the use of trying? We're going to put up something that looks so dreadfully inferior. Why even work? Have you ever felt that way? What's the use? Why go on? My work seemed to be so utterly futile. Well, the implication is you're going to need power. You're going to need power for the motivation to work, let alone for the energy to work, and then to finish the work and to stay at it. That's the whole lesson here. Well, the people of Israel were not to despise the day of small things. They were not to despise their apparently lesser temple reconstruction effort that contrasted with the humanly magnificent temple of Solomon. Remember back in Haggai 2, 2 and 3, the people were weeping because it wasn't nearly like the other temple. Well, the passage here is, don't despise the day of small things. You know, when God looks at Solomon's temple, he saw that as basically a small thing. The temple that God has in heaven is much more magnificent than Solomon's temple. But here was a straggling group of people. They weren't skilled as workmen, and they were doing their best to build a temple. And God said, look, I want you to be encouraged. It may not look like the fanciest temple in the world, but this is a temple that you're building for me. And as far as I'm concerned, this is not only adequate, this is within my will, and I want to encourage you in it. If you're struggling with this tonight, I want you to be encouraged. The Lord doesn't... If your efforts seem to be small, if they seem to be insignificant, God doesn't want you to look at it that way. Don't despise that. That's very important. It's important to God, and therefore it's got to be important to us. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, No Small People. In God's program, there are no small people. Every person is very, very significant. You are, if you're a believer. You're very significant in the plan of God. So don't discount yourself. Don't discount your efforts. And I need to make this application to myself as well. So God's omniscience in the seven eyes of the Lord, that's in Zechariah 4:10 and 3:9, had seen Solomon's temple and the dismay of the elderly returned exiles that they're viewing the humanly inferior rebuilding effort. But he would provide all the spiritual power needed to motivate and to equip Israel to finish this work regardless of the ensuing temptations of the contrary. See, we might say, you know, this effort looks so small. God says, look, I see that. I'm omniscient. That's not a surprise to me, but I don't think it's insignificant. Don't you think it's insignificant? I've seen this. I know all about it. And I'm with you. I'm on your side. It's a wonderful thing to know that God's in our corner. He's in our corner, and he's there to help us. And that's what this whole sermon is, and that's what this whole vision is about. It's a vision to encourage us. Now, Zechariah, it shouldn't be Zerubbabel, it should be Zechariah, I apologize, the beginning of H. Zechariah then returned to ask the angel again about the identity of the objects in the vision, and he had to ask repeatedly. It's interesting, verses 11 and 12 and then 13, then I answered and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left? And I asked again, I said, what are these two olive branches, actually olive clusters, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Apparently there were clusters of olives on each of the trees. And from these olives themselves were coming this olive oil through these two main pipes that were entering into the reservoir, out of which were the 49 conduits going to the seven lamps. What is this? What does it mean? And notice what the angel does. He stalls again, verse 13, and he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And Zechariah must have said, no, my Lord. Come on, tell me. So, the Lord, finally, we believe this is the angel of the Lord. The Lord finally says, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, to stand by the Lord means this. The Lord is seated. And a servant always stands behind his master waiting to serve him. Many years ago, I ate a meal at Nadine's, my wife's grandmother's home. And she's from the old school. She was from Sweden. And she didn't eat with us. She stood behind to wait on us until we ate. And then after we had eaten pretty much, then she would sit down and she would just eat a bowl. But that's how they did it in the old school. If you were the wife, you worked as the servant. And she stood. And I felt very uncomfortable, but, you know, she said no. And I asked her, you know, no, I'm here. You eat. And her food was Swedish, you know, Swedish cook. Whoosh! Tremendous. Wonderful. Very tasty. And she'd worked very, very hard on that. But that's what these are men who serve God. And they're standing behind God's chair, God's seated, and they're waiting to serve him. Now, literally, these are sons of oil, or men who are consecrated by anointing, and they refer to Israel's king and high priest, both men who needed to be anointed to assume their offices. Now, in Zechariah's day, these were Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was of the lineage of David. We know that because of 1 Chronicles 3:1, where it has the lineage of Judah and so forth. Well, he comes from the line of David in verses 17 to 19. Now, whether he stood in line to be the king, we don't know, but he came through the line of Jeconiah, the cursed line, and of course through that line came Joseph, who was married to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the man through whom Jesus gets the right to rule on the throne. But anyway, that's who these men represented. Now what's interesting is that in the coming great tribulation, these two men will be the high priest and a civil governor of Israel, who will witness as rulers of the future messianic kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I go way over to Revelation chapter 11. In Revelation chapter 11, in verse 3, the Bible says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's for 3.5 years. And who are these? These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of the earth. Who are the trees, the olive trees and the candlestick? That goes back to Zechariah chapter 4. So this is a prophecy that portends ahead to the coming great tribulation period. And verse 5, if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and they devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And These men have power, and then these men die, and their dead bodies lie in the street of the great city, verse 8, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. This incidentally happened to American soldiers. Remember in Iran, in Tehran, when Jimmy Carter had sent the GIs in, they treated the bodies this way. So this is what's going to happen in then. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall gifts and gifts one to another because of these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life of God entered into them, just like the life of the Lord Jesus. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon them all which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here. And they ascended up in a cloud to heaven, and their enemies beheld them. And of course, this also pictures the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you're going to have in the Great Tribulation, you're going to have one man as the high priest. The other man is going to be the man who stands ready to rule in the throne, although he is not going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the two witnesses. So Zechariah chapter 4 is looking forward to that. Well, in the Messianic Kingdom, both the office of high priest and the king are united in one, the Lord Jesus. Psalm 110 tells us that Jesus is going to be the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and also he's going to be the king. So it's going to be in one person. So whether it be in Zerubbabel's and Joshua's era, or in the era of the two witnesses in the future Great Tribulation, or in the Messianic Kingdom, Israel's leadership would achieve humanly formidable tasks in the power of the Holy Spirit, as symbolized in the provision of the olive oil. So throughout history, God's people are to achieve His superhuman assignments amid great discouragement and human limitations to the contrary by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're here tonight and you're discouraged, you need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. If you're here tonight and you're wondering, how in the world am I going to achieve this task that is put before me? Maybe it's a task in my family. Maybe it's a task in my ministry, a task in my job, and this is something God wants me to do. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will give you the power, the motivation, the encouragement, and the wisdom, and the energy to get it done. That's what we need. So in application, may we rely on the Holy Spirit for all the power we need to achieve God's will. And then of necessity, this means doing God's will and God's spiritual gifting. Obviously, you can't just say, well, I want to go climb Mount Everest and I'm going to rely upon the Holy Spirit to do it. If the Lord doesn't want you to climb Mount Everest, He won't give you the power to do that. So we have to focus on what the calling God has for us and then the will that He has for us. We've had a number of illustrations of this, but I used this in the Sunday school lesson this morning, but I want to refer to it again. Yesterday, I went out to get gas at a gas station, and I had to wait an unusually long time at this particular service station. Normally, I can get right in and get out, but I had to wait an unusually long time. And then finally, when I got the car hooked up to the pump and I started it, I started washing my windshield. Someone spoke to me, and I looked up, and here it was Dave, Brother Dave over there. He'd taken his truck in to fill it up with the diesel at the Sunoco Station. And Dave came over and talked with me about the other Thursday night. We were planning to come out here and paint. And of course we couldn't because it was canceled. And I happened to mention to Dave, I said, you know, the funny thing is, not long after you called, it didn't rain anymore at our house. So we could have gone ahead and painted. And Dave corrected me. He says, no, I came down to the church. We would have gotten wet because it was raining down here. I didn't think so at my house, but it was raining down here. And, you know, the Lord showed me something from that. I had been thinking that, you know, I could have gone down. Maybe the Lord just didn't want us to do that. But the Lord had worked through Dave. Brother Dave is the one who heads up that project. And he'd made a decision based upon the weather report that he had, and it turned out to be the correct one. And the Lord revealed to me, see, Don, there are decisions that have to be made that are beyond your puny little mind to understand. And you're going to have to trust me. And you're also going to have to rely upon my leadership of board members. Because sometimes I can lead through them too. So I found it a tremendous insight. It was corrective for me, but it was also encouraging that God is at work in the midst of our body. And He's leading these men to make decisions and other Christians too. I've heard through 3 Christians since last Sunday of the effectiveness of prayer, of our prayer chain, or of the prayer that we offer in the Sunday services here this morning. Chris Coe, Janice Allard, and Mike Terwilliger. all of them talked about that. And I mentioned in the church service this morning, according to 1 John chapter 3:22, when we get answers to prayer, that means that there are a lot of things that are right. And I think those answers to prayer, in part, are an encouragement from the Lord. And he's indicating, Neat Park Church, you're right on the beam. You know, don't despise the day of small things. You're in this work for me. I approve of what you're doing, and I want you to rely upon my power and my spirit. So hopefully that's what God wants us to do. And like I said, the angel stalled and stalled and stalled because he really wanted us to get the point. The power of God. If we rely on the power of God, we can do it. If we don't, we will be a basket case.